Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: Chicago gangs form pact to shoot cops on sight. The FBI field office in Chicago warned that about 30 Chicago gangs have made a pact to shoot police officers if they draw their weapons in public. The article said they wanted to get worldwide attention. That should make the world wonder, question, what the hell is going on in America? Many lives have been directly or indirectly impacted upon by police misconduct and judicial misconduct or preference. If we thought the George Floyd murder by police would have at least slowed some of this down, we were simply dreaming. Chicago's gangs appear to be finding their own way of dealing with it, right or wrong, whether you agree with it or not. It sends a strong message about police culture in America. Just a little background information, what I've heard some people saying. Donald Trump called reports of police misconduct rhetoric. He referred to rhetoric, which is rhetoric. I was like a little confused. So I had to look the word up because, you know, I'm not the smartest guy on the planet. So rhetoric, they say, is the art of effective or persuasive speaking or writing, especially the use of figures of speech and other compositional techniques, language designed to have a persuasive or impressive effect on its audience, but often regarded as lacking in sincerity or meaningful content. So I was wondering, is he trying to say that some of the things that people are saying is not sincere and doesn't have meaningful content? Anyway, people are talking about incidents that they can see on video. That's what's, you know, generating all this conversation about these police violence, misconduct, murders, and so forth like that. That's not rhetoric about police misconduct. They are expressing their disgust with police misconduct, the lack of accountability, the lack of respect for life, and they have every right to. The only people defaming police are police, and they are doing it on video and in view of witnesses. It is not a new phenomenon. And to say we will do something about it is to admit that you have done nothing about it, or what you have done has done nothing about it, which is why it has gotten to this tragic, explosive point. Stop with the language that is designed to excuse and generate empathy for the actions of police. Wrong is wrong, and when civilians can see that it is wrong and law enforcement can't, won't, or doesn't, it becomes a scarier scenario. Understand that. When it becomes identified as justified, not worthy of being charged, they receive no conviction and or sentence according to the law, it teaches civilians blue lives matter and other lives don't. When blacks are disproportionately assaulted and murdered by police, it tells us black lives don't matter over all other lives. Forbes and Statista stated, since January 2001, 2015, 4,728 people have died in police shootings, and around half, 2,385 were white, 1,252 were black, 877 were Hispanic, and 214 were from other racial groups. As a share of the population, however, things are very different. Black Americans, as we know, account for less than 13% of the U.S. population, but the rate at which they are shot and killed by police is more than twice as high as the rate for white Americans. Now, we are wondering, how many of those were really justified? Police target black. It doesn't matter if the killing, because somebody said something about the how many killings and percentages. And as a little bottom line, if you don't want to look at nothing but right and wrong, it doesn't matter if the killings were disproportionate or not. The point is that they were, they are wrong, inhuman, and the police are attempting to explain it away with the assistance of the judicial system, right? So that is the system that has historically targeted blacks, and the system that has a history of convicting blacks at a higher rate, sentencing blacks to more prison time, and you have those two systems working together to do so. That is an uphill struggle on an iceberg for black folk. The Guardian says violence against black men and women at the hands of white authority is foundational to the United States and continues to influence its policing culture to this day, right? Precursors to modern day American police departments include violent slave patrols utilized in southern states before the Civil War, then the legal enforcement of racist black codes, followed by Jim Crow laws. All that's racist, all right? It is pointed toward targeting black people. Early municipal departments is growing. U.S. cities were overwhelmingly white and brutalized vulnerable communities routinely. Thousands of lynchings of black Americans by white vigilantes went unpunished by the judicial system. This is not new stuff. This is some old stuff, right? And during the civil rights era and well beyond, peaceful protests, right, has been harshly suppressed by officers sworn to protect and serve. I don't know if y'all seen the movies or the video of the peaceful protests of people getting their heads bashed in, holes, dogs biting them, you know, and things like that. You know, bless them people that are able to do that. I could not have been in that protest myself. I would have to stay home because I'm not going to peacefully let somebody hit me with a fire hose or in the head with a blackjack and stick a dog on me. Anyway, from provocative thought. That is how old this is. That is how long next to nothing has been done about it. This is how you end up with Chicago gangs monitoring the behavior of police. Been doing this thing, since slavery. From ABC. FBI reports Chicago gangs have formed a pact to shoot cops on site. This is Zachary Evans. He wrote it. The FBI, as I said before, they had intelligence alerts, and the alerts based on the reporting is limited. The contact who's reporting is limited. Who's reliability, right, cannot be determined, meaning a street source or witness or information obtained through surveillance. All right, so the alert states that Chicago gangs have agreed to shoot on site any cop that has a weapon drawn on any suspect in public. Members of these gangs on faction have been actively searching for and filming police officers in performance of their official duties and alerts, the purpose of which is to catch on film an officer drawing his weapon on any suspect and the subsequent shoot on sight of said officer, they said. You know, I can't verify this because I'm not from Chicago. I don't know anybody from Chicago, but I wish I had put, feet on the ground so I can ask around and see if that's exactly how it goes. But we're just going to go with the story that they printed. let's say, in early August, mobs of people staged what appeared to be a coordinated spate of looting and vandalism at Chicago's Magnificent Mile, right? That's the high-end business district. So they're making some noise over there. Somebody, the looting occurred after police shot and arrested a suspect in the Inglewood neighborhood. The looting was reportedly prompted by a rumor, which went viral on social media, that the cops had shot and killed a child when, in fact, they had injured a 20-year-old man. So anyway, some provocative thought. Remember, Chicago gang members have targeted rivals through media coverage, and many of them are no longer amongst the living. What is this gang edict really indicative of, if it's real? Because I don't know if it's real. I don't know of a gang member that said, anybody that's associated with a gang that said that is true. But let's just say it's true. What is it really indicative of? Is it how bad Chicago gangs are? Chicago has not cleaned its dirty laundry, as the mayor in 2013 alluded to when recognizing that Chicago had a police corruption problem. If you recognize a stop sign and you continue to drive through it, you are at risk of causing serious harm to someone and yourself. That is why it is a big red sign saying you need to do something. In this case, stop when you see it. Chicago ignored the big red sign in 2013, right? Because in 2014, Laquan McDonald was murdered. He was shot 16 times while walking away from police. He had a small knife in his hand. Yeah, he did. He was walking away. The cop that shot him within 6 seconds of getting out of his vehicle after he arrived on the scene, right? There was a big cover-up, and Officer Jason Van Dyke didn't get much time. I think he got, 6.7 years? He's about to come out, now, I think, in 21. Is that right? I think 21 or something. He's about to come out or something because he had already been in jail. Anyway, the article went on to say Chicago has seen a rise in murders and shootings since the death of George Floyd earlier this year. A surge in violence likely compounded the economic dislocation caused by the coronavirus pandemic and a rise in anti-police sentiment, which has reportedly led police in many cities to adopt less aggressive tactics. I don't know if that's code word for we ain't doing a whole lot of nothing no more, because you shouldn't be aggressive. That's the problem. And if the aggression that I'm seeing, as I'm going to talk about a particular case, it's ridiculous. They said you might as well be a gang. This might as well be Nazi Germany, some of the ways that these police are approaching civilians. They said there were 2,749 shooting victims in the city as of Monday of this article, right? Up to 917 from the previous year, right? So Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown, who started his position several weeks before the Floyd protest, said a sense of lawlessness has been observed by officers on the street. Brown also noted that the dangers for officers have dramatically increased. Well, the dangers for everyone have increased, okay? I guess law enforcement is no exception. Sure, black people need to stop murdering each other, but we are talking about those sworn to defend and protect and serve. The Chicago hood is off the chain. Shootings and murders are commonplace. These guys are saying enough is enough. Is there any law enforcement feeling that way about these unjust police killings? If law enforcement desires to be someone that is respected in the community, they have to be someone they respect in the community. I know there has to be a few of those type of officers in blue. We need more, many more. Back to the article, he thinks 51 officers have been shot in 1 year. So I guess it's both shot at or shot. He said, I think that quadruples any previous year in Chicago history, Brown said. I think it's more than a suggestion that people are seeking to do harm to cops. Okay, so he worried about the police. His point, you need to be worried about how the police are setting off these chain of events, but just call me stupid, you know, for even thinking about somebody, thinking that somebody should be concerned about the chain of events that this police misbehavior, abuse, and aggression is causing all over the country. It's not even like in a couple of cities. It's not even just in Chicago. It's all over. So, from a box of thought, it is indicative of people losing respect for police or what little respect they did have for police. Maybe they seek to harm police because they see police as seeking to harm them. Could they actually be afraid? Can the people be afraid? That will present a more volatile scenario when real police respond to their duty, because I'm going to recognize there's some people out there, and I know they are, who are not there to be aggressive in the community, who are not afraid and use fear use aggression to hide their fear and their cowardness. So I know they got some real police out there, and we're all thankful for those brothers and sisters that's out there doing the real job. Anyway, this is from ABC News. Basically, there's two news captions on this subject. Again, they said Chicago area law enforcement with an anonymous warning. Nearly three dozen cold-blooded street gangs. They call the street gangs cold-blooded, right? Because, you know, like Chicago, hey, they doing some cold-blooded things over there. They are killing a lot of people. A lot of brothers and sisters are young, old, are being murdered in Chicago. And some of it is very cold-blooded, if not all of it, right? These cold-blooded gangs, right, have formed a pact to shoot on site any cop that has a weapon drawn on any subject in public. If cold-blooded people don't do stuff like that, that's my point. So anyway, but has police misconduct, abuse, aggression, and murder, is it turning the street gangs into something else? Anyway, law enforcement has no problem identifying and labeling the violence of street gangs as cold-blooded. But why don't they identify and label the violence of police as cold-blooded when it is cold-blooded? Shooting someone 16 times sound more like gangbanging than good old police work. Somebody, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Naquan McDonald was shot 16 times. Once, he was standing up. 15, he was laying on the ground, 2 in his back. It was a year before an arrest was made. You know, maybe I was sleeping in the back of the class. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little slow. As I said, I'm not the smartest guy on the planet. But somebody tell me, is that good police work? Then again, I guess it depends on where your head is. Here lately, Jacob Blake, shot in the back 7 times at point blank range in Kenosha, Wisconsin, reminiscent of Alton Sterling and police in Baton Rouge in 2016. See, this stuff just keeps going. It's like that, what's that little commercial with the bunny? You know, it's just, I mean, like, is nobody getting it? Or did, I don't understand. You know, did they get the, they send a memo out? You know, don't do that. Let me give you an example. This is, I don't know what the FBI is saying in Chicago is real or not. But here's what happened in Baton Rouge with Alton Sterling. This was the guy, he was hustling, I think he was selling like CDs or something, whatever. CDs, whatever. You know how they got that little table and socks and all that stuff. So he was selling something like, I think like it was like a 7-Eleven type convenience store. He was outside of it. Anyway, right. Anyway. What happened here with my man? So they responded to a call, said man outside with a gun, right? So he Alton out there trying to get his hustle on, talking to somebody. A young lady it was, I think, you know. And police approach him, right? The video was taken from police body cam. I think it was a person that up to the first shot, had it on video cam. Then they start ducking, right? So, all right. So the cops are approaching him, right? Let me see. So the body cam, officer Salamone, he was repeatedly shouting what they say profanity at Mr. Sterling. That's even that says you're not really trying to paint the picture of how vicious Salamone is, but shouting profanities is a little different than what he actually did. So slam him to the car, twice ordering the second officer, Howie Lake, right, to use his taser because he couldn't, as he was threatening to shoot Mr. Sterling with the gun pointed at his head. So what he really did was he approached the man and he said, what's up? Right? And he said, basically he told him to put your hands on the car, I'll blow your fucking brains out, some shit like that. And he's threatening, I'll blow your brains out, pointing a gun at this guy's head. And this guy, Alton Sterling, with all that going on, remained relatively calm. Just wanted to know why they were there, hey, what's going on? What y'all doing this, right? So with all that, the police said these actions were not minor deviations from police policy. They were not minor deviations from police party. We don't even care about that. We care about the criminology of these acts. Like Chief Murphy Paul of the Baton Rouge Police said, and they contribute to the outcome that resulted in the death of another human being. I'm like, what the hell? What the hell is this dude saying? I don't hear nothing like sounds like a crime has been committed, a man has been murdered, and he has been arrested. He's now in police custody. I hear something like, oops. You know what I'm saying? Like he dropped some ink on some papers or something. And maybe that's how they see us. They said the decision, came. And the decision they made was that they fired Mr. Salamone, the shooter, right? And the other officer was suspended for 3 days. And here we got a body, right? Y'all following this? We have a body, a homicide, death by homicide. And all we have is a man being fired. And a man getting 3 days off of work. Y'all ever seen that on the street? I haven't. Anyway, they said Salamone had violated the department's use of force rules and that Officer Lake had violated its policies on sustaining command of temper. Those are the violations. Here we have a man, right, who's dead. We have a homicide still. No homicide, no crime being identified, right? Because here's what he's saying. The chief is saying this here. So this is, that's like saying no crime has been committed, right? The chief spoke mostly of the generalities about why the men were found to have violated policy. They violated policy. They didn't violate this guy's right to life, his civil rights. Only thing they violated was policy. Something's wrong with this picture. One officer attempted to use de-escalation, they said, and disengagement technique. Watch the video, y'all. Consistent with policy and procedure and training, they said. The other officer did not follow tactics, training, professionalism, and organizational standards. Ooh. Still, no crime, no homicide. We got a man who's dead at the hands of these two guys, right? Because they was holding him on the ground when they shot him. He also said fear cannot be a driver for an officer to respond to every incident. Unreasonable fear within an officer is dangerous. We know that. Still, no homicide. If fear cannot be a driver, okay, what the hell was going on here? They had the man on the ground, right? Oh, they pushed him on the car. He resisted. Guy shot him with the taser two times, right? Alton is a strong dude. Okay. He didn't fall. He's still asking, hey, what's going on? Like, what is y'all doing? So they wrestled him to the ground. One guy's on top of him. One's on the side with a gun. And I think that's Salamone on the side, the killer. He already told this man he'd kill him a couple of times, right? Blow his head off, right? So somebody yells, I don't know if it's Salamone or the other guy, he got a gun. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's why you came there, because you came there answering a call that somebody had a gun. So I shouldn't be surprised if somebody had, if he does have a gun. So that sounds like one of those catchphrases. You got a gun, killing. That's like, you know what I'm saying? He was just in arrest, killing. Right? We stunned him twice. He's not going down, killing. Anyway, all I hear from the chief of police here, right, and this is why people's getting pissed off, is that, hey, they violated policy. They ain't saying nothing about criminal law at all. Police procedure, his temperament, nothing about this man losing his life. Something's wrong with that picture, right? The two officers responded to a call that a man who fit Mr. Sterling's description had been brandishing a gun. So brandishing again, we talked about this on the other show. Brandishing means that he's waving around, pointing it in a menacing manner or threatening. That did not occur. Watch the video. Matter of fact, through the whole video, you see no gun. Anyway, Mr. Stern was standing by the table where he was doing some business, as I said, selling CD socks or something, whatever, earrings, doesn't matter, right? Lake approaches him and takes Sterling on by the arm, right? They never tell the man why they are approaching him, right? You're doing some Gestapo Germany, Nazi Germany kind of like approach. The three men tussle as the officers try to bend Sterling over the hood of the car, as Salamone, the hero of this incident, points The gun at Alton's head repeatedly threatened to shoot Sterling in the fucking head. That's what he said. I'm not trying to curse. I'm just trying to be, precise so you can understand. Anytime you hear somebody say, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking head, that usually means I'm going to shoot you in the fucking head. Alton asked why he was being confronted and resist putting his hands on the car as he asked. Officer Lake fires a taser, right, at him twice. Officer Salamone tags him to the ground. Oh, they straddle him. That's like sitting on top of somebody, right? And about at the waist, I think he looked like on the video. And one was on the upper left-hand side of Alton with his gun out. And one of them yelled, he got a gun. So that's the catchphrase. They say about seven gunshots ring out at point-blank range. That's because somebody said he got a gun. Right? Mr. Sterling lies, on the ground in the parking lot, dead. Officer Salamone swears at him, you stupid motherfucker, is what he said, right? And he searched his pockets, apparently, for the firearms, right? So, a state reporter later noted that Officer Lake found a .38 caliber handgun in Mr. Sterling's pocket after the shooting. The report also included the results of the toxicology test, which said Mr. Sterling's blood had contained alcohol, cocaine, amphetamine, methamphetamine, and THC. The amount of methamphetamine, the report said, was associated with abusers who exhibited violent and irrational behavior. All right, now, we didn't see all of this shit. I mean, seems like anybody that's reading and looking on YouTube or reading these articles know what all this is, right? So we're going to take the victim, and we're going to dirty him up as dirty as we can. We're going to paint the dirtiest picture of him as we can that to suit the scenario that we need to justify us killing this man as we are on top of him. So, and I'm talking about they was on top of him. Right? So, basically, a criminal, a drug user. He was armed and presented a lethal threat to police, even though he never had a gun in his hand. Not worth being on the planet. Reason enough not to inform him why he was being approached. He was beneath them even before there was evidence of drugs and a gun. So Alton Sterling was going to die that night because the people approaching him didn't value his life, didn't see him as a human being, didn't see him as a man that deserved to live. That's the only way you're going to approach a guy. I'll shoot you in your fucking head. That's your approach. You're a cop. So that's not just a violation of police protocol. That's a violation of Alton Sterling's human and civil rights. Using toxicologist tests to confirm or support behavior not present on the video is absurd. That whole rant about, he's so high, and he's high like the people who are uncontrollable that use the same drug. We don't care about the other people who use the drug. That man was in control of himself and was not presenting a threat to these police officers. A lethal threat. I guess he's a threat just simply because he's a black man. I guess they were scared simply because somebody said he was brandishing a gun, which they didn't see a gun. They could have came in and talked to that man. They could have held, guns on him if they have it. If they coward was on that night, they should have just stayed They back on them at telling them, keep his hands up. Do you have a gun on you? Don't move something. I don't know. They did anything but what they did. Then they try to imply that this man was acting out based on the drugs he had in it. The video speaks for itself. And, you know, another thing people getting tired of, people seeing what happens in a video and then somebody telling them that's not what happened. All he asked was, why were police confronting him? They could have verbally said that. They could verbally say, get on the car, I'll shoot you in the head. He got a gun, but they couldn't explain why they confronted him. What is the problem with that? Aren't police supposed to let you know what's going on? It's not the this Nazi Germany or, you know. Did I not get the memo? They proceeded right to escalating the situation, threatening to shoot Sterling in his fucking head at least 3 times. Watch the video, y'all. Just get on the car. They took him, and said, get on the car, threatened to shoot him. The guy said, fucking head 3 times. So that tells me he already got in his mind, he's going to kill me. He's going to give me a headshot at close range. Right? He was stunned with the taser twice and wrestled to the ground. He heard somebody yell, he got a gun. And superhero Soleimani fires his weapon at least 7 times. I don't know if it's 7 or 8. I don't know. I heard different numbers of how many times Alton got shot. Multiple times, right? This is the first shot seen on the cell phone video, but the person recording that, he had to duck for cover, right? There's more rounds being fired. They say he was shot a total of 6 times, all within close range, and while lying on the ground. There was no weapon in his hand. The officers retrieved a loaded 38 caliber revolver from his pants pocket. Somebody help me out with this here, because I don't think it's rocket science to know that this man is not presenting a lethal threat to police. He has a gun in his pocket. You already subdued him. And what happened? Oh, he had the gun. You're right on top of him. Anyway, they use one of those catchphrases. He got a gun, right? Isn't that why they confront him in the first place? If Alton was threatening police with a gun, why did police have to search his pockets for the gun? What? If it wasn't in his hands, he did not present an imminent lethal threat, right? If the gun is in his pocket, he's on the ground, and one of the scaredy cats yelled, he got a gun. Where's the imminent threat, right? This is close range, right? The police were the aggressors, often never attacked police. He simply did not obey their command. That's a death sentence, y'all. And ask, what happened, man? Is this what they teach in the police academy? Or they get this on training day? They get that real bad training officer like Denzel Washington. Something's wrong with this picture. He shot, man, about how many times he shot? 6 times? Come on now. The same cop, right, that repeatedly threatened to kill Alton actually took his life. Isn't that premeditation? If I tell you, I'm going to shoot you in your effing head, I'm going to shoot you in your effing head, I'm going to shoot you in your effing head, put your hands up, give me your money, right? We tussle and I shoot you. I don't get it. I shoot you 6 times. I'm telling you, multiple. As I said previously, multiple gunshots mean you plan to kill the person you're shooting. If you shoot them multiple times at close point blank range, you are saying, I want to kill you. I want to make sure that you are dead. All right? That's what that means. If you're shooting an unarmed person like that, you got to question it. You can't say you were scared, like they said. Because that's not an excuse for shooting a man six times. If that's the case, we have a lot more murders on the street because of a lot of scared people out there. And some of the people killing people out here, they scared. So this is where this whole thing just starts to turn into one big nightmare. This is at point blank range with two officers over him. Explain shooting Alton Sterling six times. Somebody explain that to me. Any kind of way. I don't care if you're a police officer. I don't care if you're a priest, criminal. I don't care. Somebody explain shooting him six times at close range with no weapon in his hand. Somebody explain that to me. The only thing these guys received was a 3-day suspension, and the trigger man was fired from the police force. Try that on the street, y'all. I mean, don't. But imagine that. I guess having a gun in your pocket scares the shit out of some police folk, even if they have you restrained on the ground. If Salamone's behavior was enough to be fired from the force, criminal charges should have been followed, especially in an aggravated assault or homicide case. No criminal charges says no crime was committed, yet a man has been murdered again, another justified homicide. Just happens to be a black man. Another one. See, this is years and years of continuing, this kind of behavior continuing. And we don't know how many shoot murders are actually done that really aren't what they say they are. We don't really know. I say, if that were two gangbangers, they both would have been charged with homicide, right? We know that, right? Two gangbangers, two civilians in the neighborhood, two girls, two teenagers. They both would have got hit with a homicide charge. How come these guys just get fired? People getting tired of that. Because the message is sending out, all right, law enforcement, judicial system, is that no harm, no foul. Officers fired. This guy was laid off for 3 days. Dead man. Just ignore the fact that a man's life is taken away from him. People have a problem with that. People have been having a problem with that. That's nothing new. This is evidence that law enforcement does not apply to police officers, or the law is not applied to police officers. You know what I'm saying? They say, I know a lot of people just say, we got a different law for police officers. It sounds like there's no law for police officers. You just killed a man. The police department says you did something wrong as a police officer, but you didn't do anything wrong in terms of a crime. That's ridiculous. Gangbangers don't get that kind of break, but they see police getting it, right? It's not a good look when the guys you are arresting and investigating feel a responsibility to investigate and take action against police corruption. That should get worldwide attention. Look at this. The lawyer for the Sterling family said the video, as I said, showed that Sterling was lucid, right? Right? Wasn't deranged. It wasn't out of control as they tried to use the toxicology report to imply. They're already setting up the case just in case it goes further. Alton was relatively calm throughout the process. He was. Gun to his head, man threatening to blow his brains out. His fucking brains out, you know? And he's in Baton Rouge, and I heard Baton Rouge had a history. Well, this is history all over the country, so it doesn't even matter. Of abusing, you know, black people, and, you know, police abuse and aggression. But that's all over the country. They said, that's a different story or depiction when you read the Attorney General's findings. Ooh, it sounds like someone manipulated the police report. Or that's a nice way of saying lie. But you understand what I'm saying? The two officers may now appeal their punishment to a civil service board, which will hold public proceedings and uphold, vacate, or modify their punishment. A civil service board? You mean a trial court? You know, you mean a criminal court? Like, it's still, they're saying no crime. The officers may then appeal that decision to a state district court. What is going on here? That's definitely telling you that police have they don't dance to the same drum as everybody else, even if they just outright kill somebody. Anyway, there's a reason why I use Baton Rouge as an example. Again, the video does not match the official police report. People are getting tired of the lying as though it were actually true. Referred to as controlling the narrative. Control is just another word for create, which is cousin in this case to just telling straight up lie. Nobody cared about the truth in the case of Alton Sterling. People are tired of the demonizing of the victim to validate and justify taking his good for nothing life. That's the picture they're trying to paint of this brother. They took every right Alton Sterling had away. Now they get to exercise their rights, and they got all kinds. They got rights up the wazoo. They got more rights than the Joe citizen, because we don't have them kind of rights. Ain't no citizen review board gonna review me. You understand? You're gonna go right in front of that judge. A hearing officer ain't going to decide if you're going to go to jail and wait or you're going to go home and wait. More than likely, you're going to go to jail on that body. Anyway, the mayor of Baton Rouge said she would like to see Officer Salamone fired and Officer Lake disciplined. That's what the mayor said. That's it. The mayor saying she would like to see Officer Salamone fired and Officer Lake disciplined means do not arrest these old boys. Because they didn't get arrested. So far, I don't see nothing that said they got arrested for a homicide. And that's got to be crazy. Watch the video, y'all. And they acting like something's going on. It doesn't matter. You can act any kind of way you want to. Got a lot of actors out there. Lawyers for the two officers are almost certain in the appeal process to seize on the mayor's statements calling for the discipline of the officers and argue that the punishments were a foregone conclusion. The punishments were a foregone conclusion. Did anybody see anything wrong with this picture? The punishment for homicide is at least long prison time, incarceration. These guys haven't been punished at all, and these lawyers are arguing that, hey, you slapped them too hard on the wrist. They said the question is going to be, did the mayor's declaration in any way influence the decision of the police chief? to have them disciplined, have one fired and the other one laid off for 3 days. Woo! They're not even worried about Alton Sterling. You understand all this talk. F Alton Sterling. F that piece of... That's the message they're sending out right here. Officer Salamone's lawyer said he would vigorously pursue the appeal. He's going to vigorously pursue the appeal that this man got fired for murdering a man. He said, I think it's unfair, said Mr. McLingden. He said he had to make some several split-second decisions. He shot him 7 times. That's several split-second decisions, man. Well, there's a lot of homies on the street making split-second decisions. Several, 14, 20, 30, 2, 1. They're making a whole lot of them decisions. What's your point? And we all know, if you watch the video, this man did not make any split-second decisions. He escalated the conflict with his brother. He made it what it was. And the police are even alluding to that. Their behavior made this outcome possible. Right? So, what provocative thought. This scenario happens too often. Right? I think we all can agree with that. Right? The other catchphrase, he had to make split decisions. Watch the video. Salamone is excessive upon his approach and threatens to shoot Alton in the head while pointing his gun at his head. Alton is relatively calm considering his life is really being threatened if he doesn't comply and place his hands on the car. The police never saw a gun in Alton's hand, yet Salamone decided to shoot Alton 6 times. If they did see a gun, explain shooting Alton 6 times at point blank range. Sounds more like Salamone meant, stupid nigga didn't think that I would kill him after I told him I would kill him. That's what it sounds like. Anyway, the new police chief, who is black, I don't know what kind of difference that's going to make, has a difficult political path to navigate in a racially and economically divided southern city, they said. He's got to try to gather the supporters of police force, support of police reform, and gain the trust of residents. I'm telling you right now, it's no way I'm going to trust it after the Alton Sterling incident. And I'm sure there are other incidents like that. Baton Rouge is where Michael Brown was. Anyway. So here's what happened. Chief Paul spoke at his news conference of a retaliatory act after the shooting in which a man shot and killed 2 Baton Rouge police officers and a deputy sheriff. This is after the shooting right here. So somebody retaliated, shooting 2 Baton Rouge police officers and a deputy sheriff. Now, people might look at it and say, oh, they off the hook. These animals, they killed 3 cops. They didn't do anything to them. Listen. You gotta, if you have cancer, you gotta get rid of it. You know, you cannot operate with these guys that's agitating, murdering, beating up, being aggressive, intimidating people in the community. Sooner or later, the community's gonna lash out. This is what happened in Baton Rouge. So the police chief, he urged people not to resist officers' orders and to treat the police with respect. Well, look at the video. Don't take my word for it. They had no respect for the life of Alton Sterling. And they probably was a little scared of him. Scared of the situation or whatever. Because they, you know, that type of aggression, you're either a coward or you're a madman. One of the two. Or both. So they said, please stop running when the police officer gives you a direction. Please listen to the police. You know, and you know, I get that. Listen, see what's going on and stuff like that. But, you know, I get it, right? Because those are cold faces that generate, I fear for my life and for I'm about to kill this motherfucker. You understand what I'm saying? Stop resisting, you know, and give you the, refuse to follow orders. That seems like these guys just go off and, you know, like it's 1816, the slave refused, don't listen. They usually, he take a serious whipping or death. Trust is going to be very hard to earn because this, the abuse, aggression, and murder and cover-up happens nationally too often. It's been happening for many generations and disproportionately to blacks. Respect is due when respect is given. So if you want respect, you got to give respect. You just can't say people should respect police and you got police going around here approaching people like they tough guys. You know, like they like it's Nazi Germany. Like you some what's that gangster Al Capone? Like let's like you some animal. I don't even think Al Capone would do it like that. Anyway. Trust and respect. We got a long, long way to go before we get trust and respect because this thing is happening all over the country, everywhere, and it's dealt with the same way. We hear the same scenario all the time. It's basically the same thing for years. How about police officers informing civilians why they are engaging them? Stop threatening to shoot them in the fucking head. Kill them because they are scared as hell, cowardly, or in the mood for murder. Karma is a bitch. It happens in the hood all the time. The question is, are you a peacekeeping police force sworn to protect and serve the community? Or are you gang? Are you a gang of bullies in blue? How about police communicating with members of the community like they are human beings, not subhuman? How about that? How about police standing up against police abuse, aggression, and murder? Is that too much like right? Is that too much like doing the job you were paid to do? And I want to say, I'm not saying that police haven't done that because I've seen some articles about some sisters who stood up, who spoke out, and they lost their job. I think one of them is finally getting some back pay back after like 15 years, 14 years or something like that, you know, because she spoke out, you know, said, hey, you know, don't do that. Then she, you know, she spoke out against it and, you know, I'm not saying that they don't do it. A long time ago in the 60s, there was a guy named Serpico, white dude. I think he's Italian. Well, he went against the grain, let's say, against the New York Police Department, and he ended up getting shot in the face, had to leave New York, all right? Because to corrupt New York police, he was a serious threat. Because they can't make moves with Serpico. All right? So, I heard someone say the common denominator in these incidents is failure of duty to comply in this shooting. So he's saying that one of the common denominators, these people just not listening to the police. They don't, you know, the cop tell you to stop, like the, as you know, the police chief is saying, you need to stop. He tell you, put your hands up, lean up on the car, put your hands up, lean on the car. Right? That sounds like some slave owner, slave patrol, slave catcher mentality. This attitude perpetuated police misconduct and attempts to justify police conduct. You cannot justify shooting a man 7 times in the back at point blank range simply because of failure to comply to duty. Come on. This is part of the problem. If a man's life is in danger because he failed to comply with law enforcement, nothing has changed since the slave patrol. If protesters, rioters, and looters are riding on police brutality, right? If all the protesting and looting is coming off of the fact that police are being videotaped, right? Killing unarmed people, right? Killing people in their custody, killing people resisting arrest with chokeholds, illegal holds, and, you know, kneeing people to the neck who are supposed to be in medically needy status, shooting people 6-7 times in the back, point blank range. No gun or weapon in sight. If the protesters are riding on that, you know, police brutality, abuse, and unjustified murder, end it. Do something about it. That's the problem. Nothing is changing. So now people are trying to, are seeking their own method to change it, like the guy did in Baton Rouge, like the gangs may be doing in Chicago. They're seeking their own recourse to this issue. A common denominator is police are using lethal force when they are not being threatened with lethal force. That's the common denominator. They are then using a common catchphrase, I fear for my life, to justify their actions. Failure to comply with police is not a death sentence and does not present an imminent lethal threat. Come on. As long as law enforcement continues to attempt to excuse police actions when using unnecessary aggression and lethal force, this situation is only going to get worse. If law enforcement thinks that it is legally justified to shoot a man walking away in the back 7 times at point blank range, abuse their power, choke people out, beat people up, lie on a police report and call it justified, they are going to perpetuate more protest, more riots, more looting, and more violence. You have to do something about this. You just can't have a news conference and talk. It's cheap. Get these guys off the police force. You know some of these guys. I think Van Dyke had 12 complaints. Put one dude in the hospital. Get these guys off the police force. It's better to have a small force of real police officers, people who are, you know, about their job, their business, respect the community, not, you know, looking to kill nobody, not scared, cowardly, not racist. It's better to have a small force of those guys than to have these racist guys. And that violent stuff is not going to cut it. We live in a violent society. Get over it. We created it. right or wrong, violence begets more violence. And we've learned how to use violence to keep, you know, violent people off of us, to keep bullies off of us. We've learned how to do that. I'm sure everybody grown up, or not everybody, but I'm sure I had my friends telling stories, that same story, the big bully, and you had to fight them, you know. You had to put that bully down. You had to fight back. You had to do your thing for him to stop picking with you. So it's gotten so bad that street gangs have threatened to violently monitor the actions of police. Come on. If that sounds odd, let me offer a train of thought. If the people in the community were armed, George Floyd might still be alive. Or if the police thought that they could be shot or killed, police would not be so eager to shoot or knee choke or choke or beat unarmed civilians. You got people's backs to the wall. And that's what happens. Now is their opportunity to stand for something, right? To make amends to the community, these gangs, Chicago gangs. Police need to see how it feels to live with the threat of being shot on a daily basis. And last but not least, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's street justice, because they can't get justice in the courts. Van Dyke got like 6.8 years or something, 6.7 years for shooting a teenager, 17-year-old, 16 times, 15 times on the ground. This guy just shot his brother Blake in the back 7 times at point blank range. He back with his family if he got one. Blake's paralyzed from the waist down. Is that where we're headed? Because police won't curb their dogs and want to rub the community's face in their shit? Is that where we're headed? People deputizing themselves, gangs deputizing themselves, simply because police officers won't curb themselves, the police department won't curb these police officers, and if you're not giving out, you're not making it not worth their while to do some of these behaviors. They don't have, that's unnecessary, coming up on people like that. Where is law enforcement's outrage with the killing of these unarmed civilians? They're outraged with the attacks on law enforcement. You can see it the minute it happens. It's a whole new ball game, right? Where is law enforcement and the judicial system's outrage with shooting a man 7 times in the back at point-blank range, choking a man, pleading for his life, shooting a youth 16 times, 15 while he's on the ground, arresting a woman because she stood up to law enforcement who was basically harassing her, bullying her during a traffic stop? That's Sandra Bland, just in case you all don't not familiar with that or what I'm trying to say. She was later found, they say, hung in her jail cell when she should have never been in the first place. That guy's somewhere eating his favorite meal, looking at his favorite TV show, talking with his friends, chuckling up with somebody. Where's their commitment to eradicate police misconduct, bullying, and escalation of conflict. Where is the? Come on now, this should be. You killed this man. Let me see what happened on the video. Oh no, you're under arrest. You violated policy and it caused somebody death, and you killed them with the lethal threat. No lethal threat. Be locking you up. Where is that? People are looking at what happens here. This is the problem. Those gangbangers aren't idiots. They may be foolish, but they're not idiots. They're not stupid. They may be crazy, but they're not stupid. They're not blind. They can read. They can hear. They're looking. They say, hold up. Wait a minute. Something's wrong with this picture. Another guy stated, this country was built on law and order. I just seen this guy on the internet, and I was like, wow, what are you talking about? What is he talking about? There's no order now, because I'm just trying to figure out what he's saying with the brother. And he had dark skin anyway. So I was like, the country was built, I thought the country was built on the backs of slaves. And that's not all what we call law and order. We don't call slavery, Reconstruction of Jim Crow, and segregation, and and lynching, and we don't call that law and order, brother. History doesn't say that. The extermination of indigenous people, enslaving and oppression of people are not noble attributes. Laws of tyranny, genocide, and disenfranchisement do not represent order. It has nothing to do with order. It is best to punish those police who transgress because it is the right thing to do. It is better not having these cold-blooded coward killers in law enforcement or on the street. As I said previously, get the fearful, the cowardly, the hateful, the angry, the racist, the psychopathic, the sociopathic, the disdainful, the aggressive monsters out of law enforcement, the judicial system, and the legislative system. Stop protecting law enforcement when they are wrong. Stop protecting law enforcement when they are wrong. Stop protecting law enforcement when they are wrong. Come on. Hold law enforcement accountable for their behavior, punishable by the full extent of the law, especially when involving the use of deadly force. You got to put something up there that's going to tell these guys, ooh, I don't want to do that. That's a, that's a 10 to 20. You know how guys be saying that? You don't want to do that? That's 10 to 20. You know what I'm saying? That's 5 to 10. You know, what these guys ain't looking at nothing. All they're looking at, if killing a man, all you're going to do is get fired? That's the worst thing going to happen to you? 6 years, 6.5 years, 6 years, 8 months, 9 months? Van Dyke? For 16 counts of manslaughter, where it should have been first degree murder, because the man came to the scene, shot this man 16 times. Anytime you have multiple shooting, he had no contact with this man. The multiple shooting is each time you pull that trigger, it shows intent. So you meant to kill this man. This man got 6 years. The Alton Sterling murderer got fired. Should have been arrested on the spot. Multiple shooting. Bam, you're under arrest. Did you see a weapon? No. You just heard somebody say, oh, this is, come on. People getting a little sick of this. They have no problem holding civilians accountable, especially for shooting and assaulting police. Try it, but don't try it. Be as aggressive pursuing police suspects as you are civilians. I know that's hard right there, because I saw the Rodney King or video, and I ain't see nobody telling, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't kick him. Hey, don't. I ain't see nobody running over to Rodney King's aid. And you ain't have to grab Rodney King. All you do is stop the cops from beating the hell out of Rodney King. But you have to act on that when you see it. You have to, if you're gonna represent law enforcement, you need to act on that. Man got his knee on a man's neck. Get off his neck. Push him off. He got a gun, you got a gun too. So what? He broke the law. You representing the law. Stand up. Be what you say you are. The police department may have its roots in racism, hatred, and white supremacy. Those roots have to be uprooted because they are a cancerous poison, eroding what little trust the community that they continue to victimize has. It has been an ongoing scenario for blacks in America. How long do you think people are going to allow themselves to be terrorized? Police are people too. Some are good people. They have family and friends. I'm sure even the worst cop wants to make it home at the end of the day. Everybody wants to make it home at the end of the day. Even the worst of the civilians. Police know who the transgressors, the haters, racists, aggressors, and murderers are. Put them on notice. Bring order and honor to the police department. Stand up against police corruption with the same energy you stand up to civilian suspects and lawbreakers. Stop trying to divert attention to the violence in the community when the discussion is about the violence police unjustly submit the community to. Don't try to mix those things up together. No one will trust law enforcement if they continue to talk like that. Stop fabricating testimonies. If law enforcement can't or refuses to stop their own from violating the law and the lives of civilians, how can civilians expect anything but death and dishonor from them? This is not rocket science. I heard someone say, violent protest is not a legitimate form of protest. Well, violent protest is the result of taxation and no representation, political abuse, neglect, aggression, oppression, disenfranchisement, economic slavery, and murder if you could ask the founders of this country. They not only had a Boston Tea Party, they went to war. Is that enough violence for you? Does that give anybody any insight in what is going on, where we might be headed? Not about sending in the National Guard. It's about getting to the root of the problem. You don't want to throw oil on a fire, wood in a fire. You want to get to the root, because sending the National Guard saying, F you, we don't care about what's happening to y'all, and so what, you don't like it, you don't get to protest and burn down the city because we did something you don't like. That's not going to work. America the Beautiful isn't looking so beautiful. Maybe America needed a reality check to move forward. We will see. So, doesn't matter that, you know, it seems like these guys are in authority are trying to deflect what's going on and trying to direct everybody's attention. Oh, look at them. They're rioting, they're looting, and they got these people in there. Well, guess what? They're all doing that behind this police brutality, these murdering of these unarmed people. Get rid of that. Come on, you can't stop cops from murdering unarmed people. That's crazy. Shooting people 7 times? Are you kidding me? I saw a videotape, as I said, on one show, white cop, guy was coming at her with a knife threatening to kill her. She walked around her van, the police vehicle. The dude still came. She shot him one time. Pow. Somebody shooting seven times, they're either very scared or they're very hateful. They look at you like you're something that needs to be killed, or they're very scared. Either way you put it, or both. Either way you put it, they need to be, they need not to be on the police force. Anytime you see these people shooting like that, those are signs. Those are red flags. Multiple, even on the street, if somebody juicing somebody up, they just eight times in the head. We got cops doing that. Seven times in the back. Six times of Alton in the chest area. Are you kidding? And y'all need to think about this. You know, you need to get to the root of the problem. It's not about people not following directions from police. People don't trust police, number one. And people don't want to go to jail, even if they're guilty. So what? That happens. You don't get to kill them because they did not listen to your command to halt, put your hands on the car, raise your hands up. You don't get to kill people for that. I want to, we got like three more minutes left. Anybody have anything to say? I'm going to close the show. And they might want to say anything, add to the show. Always welcome. It's sad that I had to do this show. And it's sad that gangbangers are trying to do something about police aggression and murder. And that is sad. So, I don't know. It seems like I haven't had a show where you could smile about something. It's like, you know, everything I'm saying is so dark. And I still want to thank everybody, you know, for listening, downloading the show, calling in, and supporting the show. I want to thank Retalk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and Blog Talk for allowing me to host this show. Of course, I want to thank the creator and, you know, my parents. Right? So, but I just want to, you know, just ask everybody, you know, do what you can in this situation. You know what I'm saying? You know, when police stop you, try not to be too erratic or anything like that, even though that don't save everybody. Right? We know that. Right? But, you know, just try to be, you know, calm and listen, find out what's going on. And, you know, don't be afraid. Speak up for yourself, you know, understand that. And the police officers, y'all need to stop. Y'all need to check each other. Do something about that. All right? Do something. Until next time. Peace out, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Court from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Uh-huh.